with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed, flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe.
Good evening, Jeff Bennett here. My day began by having to do some running. It was a late beginning for me. I attempted to sleep last night and couldn't. And maybe I got an hour of sleep sometime during the course of the evening. But I had to get up, go to the bank, go to the post office, get some deliveries made. Decided to go to Verizon, my cell phone provider. And I have not, in 2 weeks, found a Verizon store that's actually physically open. They're all closed. So I decided to go to the one over by Costco, which is near our home. It's, frankly, one I don't care to go to. And they were open. Young Hispanic gal comes to the door and said, she's got a mask on, and they won't let you in the door till you answer what you're here for. What brings you here today? I said, I've got some billing issues I need to discuss with some. I'm sorry, we can't do that. Those things can only be handled by phone. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, 2 weeks, this is the only store I found open, and this is your answer to me? Well, I'm sorry, sir. She says, have a nice day. I said, well, you made that a little bit more difficult to happen, but whatever. And so I walked away a little ticked off. But the more I drove my car when I was leaving, I was getting more angry. I want you to think about this for a minute. They talk about businesses only being open for what they consider to be essential need. They're not going to handle a bookkeeping issue, an accounting issue, or a billing issue, but they're going to sit there and be open to sell phones. Oh, I get it. New $1,000 telephones are essential. So you're going to let people come in here and put their grimy hands all over telephones and other equipment that you sell in there. Real smart. They're still going to be hearing from me. Sickening. Well, as I mentioned before, this is Jeff Bennett. You're listening to The Edge. And that's the part you needed to hear, Michael. I made that decision today. It's too difficult with this, the edge of darkness and all this other business. The Edge says it all. From this point on, that's what the program will be called. For reasons that you'll begin to understand more as we move forward over the coming weeks, I'm spending far too much time on these issues, but they are issues of our time, issues of our day, and things continue to change on a daily basis. I found out more about what our governor in Arizona got up and wigged out over, and apparently they're still leaving most businesses shut down. If a bar or a club or a restaurant should violate and decide to open, they could be subject to fines of up to $25,000, some prison time, which will really be cool because that way they can rub elbows with other folks that probably are diseased with COVID or HIV or God knows what else. This is just ridiculous. These people are doing all they can to bring this nation to a damned halt. Now, let me share something with you. It's related, but it's not. I mean, at the time it was written, it was not. The column was entitled, Tyranny Has Come to America. Well, given what we know today, that we would probably agree with that. But, well, let's get to it, and I'll tell you the ending of this at the end. The column begins by, it's by William Peterson. He says, recently my wife and I brought our child to the doctors for her annual checkup. We chose this particular office a few years back because they had a reputation for not forcing the issue of vaccination. This time was different. The doctor, who had seemed strangely pleased upon reading the paperwork and seeing how many shots my child needed to be caught up on, suddenly became bitter and adopted a countenance not unlike that which develops upon chewing a lemon when we informed her that my child would not be receiving any shots. We were told in no uncertain terms that we would have to be seeking a doctor elsewhere, or if that were the case, because as of April of this year, they would no longer be taking no for an answer. Apparently, beginning in April, that's the month that ends today, by the way, anyone who chooses to bring their child to their offices will be forced into having them inoculated. And as a brief aside, shortly thereafter, we were subjected to a rather invasive round of questioning by the doctor. Among the questions asked were, are there any guns in the house? I could hardly think of how this was any business of a pediatrician's office and wondered out loud at what point we were going to pump the brakes on the state's prying into our personal lives. But let's get back to the issue at hand here. When it comes to the contentious issue of vaccines, so much argument could just be avoided if we as a nation truly valued freedom. Freedom of choice. Freedom of conscience. As distinct from the so-called freedom that the Fox News addicts espouse as they flag-wave themselves ever deeper into a jingoistic stupor. Vaccines are there, and anyone who chooses to subject themselves or their children to them, well, fine, that's their choice. But where I draw the line is forcing them on everybody. Isn't forced medication an issue we took the Nazis to task for? How hypocritical is it for the leaders of the so-called free world to condemn the Nazis for it, even as they load up our water supplies with fluoride, remove exemptions for vaccines? Let's face it, folks. Children have adverse reactions to all kinds of different things. And there is without a percentage of the population who will be harmed by vaccines, just as there is with something as natural and seemingly innocuous as bee stings. How can a parent ever live it down if they allow their child to be harmed in such a way and was never even given a damn choice about it? Simply stated, tyranny has come to America. How have we gotten to this state of insanity, where when you walk into a doctor's office and politely refuse to have your child forcibly medicated, something we are ostensibly protected against by the Nuremberg Code, by the way, you're treated far worse than if you were to swagger in there proclaiming that your son is really a girl and in need of a radical hormone treatment to drastically alter his natural bodily functions? Friends, we are merely the inhabitants of a damn madhouse. Observe the double mind inherent in our people. In my experience, I've noticed that many of the same radicalized feminists who bleat on and on about keep your laws off my body when it comes to abortion are the same ones who double-mindedly want to force each and every kid to submit to vaccination. Where inversion and double-mindedness exist, there you will find the devil. Americans live their lives to the smell of sulfur. Interesting. Here's the interesting part of it. Tyranny Has Come to America is the title of the article. Originally published September 27th of 2019. That's over a half a year ago. Months before this so-called virus hit us. And are they telling us they're going to not only come up with a vaccine that will resolve the issue? What the heck did I just do here? Turn that stupid thing off. I apparently just accidentally had my camera on. I really want to look at myself broadcasting. Whoop-de-doo. No thanks. I suppose at some point they're going to come up with a vaccine that will prevent coronavirus from ever happening again, except that it never does because the vaccine alone is going to kill a whole bunch of people. I don't have the list in front of me. I wish I did, because I'm not planning on turning this into an hour diatribe about vaccinations. But in one form or another, we're getting vaccinated, all right. Given shots one way or the other. I had some numbers recently, and I've got them somewhere here in my archives, about the number of vaccinations that our children are, in essence, required to get by the time they're age 12. When I was a kid, there was no more than about six of them. And now it's pushing 72. Who sells our elected officials on this crap anyway? I guess one of the neatest things that could happen is that they come out with this new virus and they require every one of their kids and grandkids to get them, and a whole bunch of those kids die. Not that I wish that upon the kids, but I wish it as a lesson for our elected idiots to wake up. I'm not going to say smell the coffee, because frankly I've got a cup right here that's left over from this morning, and it's still better than what you'll get anywhere else. Now, there was somewhere else I was going here, and I don't remember where. The thought of the coffee was just too exciting to me. I mentioned to you a few moments ago that beginning tonight, and from this day forward, this program will be known as The Edge. The whole business about the edge of darkness is crazy. I have to tease about, you know, the edge of economics, the edge of this. No, it's just going to be The Edge from this point on. And amongst the reasons for it, we will attempt to continue to do, we'll continue to do economics issues predominantly on Tuesday and Thursday. The other 3 days of the week are going to do some little mix-up. And we have talked about some of the education issues recently in last week's program. And I'm still absolutely excited about what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a new awakening as relates to the education of people's children. Massive awakening. And there was a point in time that I was going to close Metropolis down a year and a half ago. Maybe it was 2 years ago. I don't even remember. And the reason I chose not to do it is because I got a call and an email, actually, from a now deceased friend of mine, who would come to my sites and get all these headlines, and he had, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. He would put these various headlines together, not just things from my sites, but other worthwhile sites, and he would send them out to all the people on his list. And the day came along that he and I both received a note of thanks because of what Metropolis was standing for and the direction it was trying to go, she and her husband had chosen to take their child out of the public school system and homeschool them. And then I got another note from someone else saying the same thing. And that is when I made the decision to maintain Metropolis. I'll never make a dime off of it. I don't charge for people to come to it. I don't have a product to sell there. Nothing. That's not the issue. They're trying everything they can to block me from getting information out on that site because of what it does, what it enables, and the commentary about homeschooling and anti-Common Core. Oh, well, you remember who was involved with promoting Common Core, don't you? Who was the big gun, the big money behind Common Core? Bill Gates. Do you smell the rat here in Bill Gates? This guy's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's not nothing. I don't even know if the guy ever graduated from college with any kind of a degree. But he certainly wants to sit back there with all his big bucks and take control of the world now, doesn't he? Of course, he used to travel with Jeffrey Epstein a little bit. I guess back in the day, he'd have probably tried to, you know, fondle little Greta, what's-her-face, the little, you know who I'm talking about, the one that talks about all the global warming stuff. The only global warming we've got is the hot air that comes out of mouths of the people like Gates and our politicians, and on and on and on it goes. Let's talk about some history a little bit. These are the kind of things I like to work with, and it will include a lot of these kind of things on Metropolis. We go back thousands of years ago, the year 458 BC. Lucius Quintius Cincinnatus, hard at work behind his plow on the family farm, when a group of Roman senators showed up with urgent news. A foreign enemy called the Aquae had vanquished one of Rome's armies rapidly approaching the city. The Republic was in deep trouble. Now, Cincinnatus was a former consul, renowned military leader, so in their panic, the Roman Senate unanimously appointed him as an emergency dictator. And all of Rome's individual freedoms were immediately suspended. Checks and balances were eliminated. Cincinnatus would have supreme power. He would have supreme power to do whatever he saw fit during Rome's time of crisis. And according to ancient Roman historians, Cincinnatus told his wife, "Go and fetch my toga." And he immediately went to work. Oh, he was legendary. He mobilized a new army, repelled the foreign invaders, saved the city from certain destruction, all within a mere 15 days. But even more importantly, he then relinquished all of his power immediately after the victory and returned to his plow. It was a display of virtue and selflessness that Romans celebrated for centuries. Of course, most dictators are not so principled. Now, the ancient Greeks, despite having invented democracy, routinely appointed dictators during times of national emergency. Very few relinquished power willingly, and several, people like Dionysius of Syracuse, Nabis of Sparta, Pisistratus, etc., they all ruled for decades. You know, that name Pelosi sounds like it could kind of fit that, huh? Yeah. But all these people found a way to extend the emergency, just hang on to power, and eventually the people simply became accustomed to their new reality. And my friends, if all this sounds familiar, it is still true of human nature today. When I was a kid, my father used to go on business trips from time to time. My mother would usually take my sister and I to the airport to pick him up. A lot of you are old enough to remember those days. Back then, visitors used to be able to go directly to the gate, you know. We would go through security, sit at the gate waiting for Daddy as he walked off the plane. Of course, you can't do that anymore, because after a series of terrorist incidents in the late 1990s, ultimately followed by 9/11, just a couple of years later, the government put its boot to the throat of airport security. And today we stand in line for a dose of radiation while being barked at and occasionally fondled by federal employees. I mean, if she was nice looking, maybe I wouldn't mind, but that's another story. So if you think about 9/11 in particular, it is remarkable how much power the government grabbed. How many freedoms they took away from us, stripped away from us. And two decades later, my friends, it is more than clear these freedoms are never coming back. Never. I'm not just talking about visitors being able to go directly to the gate at the airport. That's just a tiny example. The wider impact of 9/11 could be seen everywhere. The government now maintains broad authority to spy upon its citizens, with the NSA brazenly intercepting the phone calls and the emails and communication metadata through an extraordinary surveillance dragnet. Financial institutions submit suspicious activity reports to the federal government to inform on their own customers, even for the most mundane transactions like withdrawing a couple of $1,000 worth of cash. U.S. law now permits the indefinite detention, in other words, incarceration, without charge or trial, even of U.S. citizens. And that law was originally authorized in 2001, then reauthorized again in 2013. Of course, U.S. federal spending absolutely ballooned after 9/11. And after a few years of finally achieving a fiscal balance in the 1990s, deficit spending soared in 01. It's remained high for the past two decades. And baby, it ain't never coming down. Because even during the economic boom years from 2016 to 2019, the government still managed to overspend by $1 trillion a year. The so-called emergency spending authorization just never went away. And frankly, most of these impacts are never going to go away. We become accustomed to the way things are. The spending, the lack of privacy, et cetera, ad nauseum, make me vomit, et cetera. The last thing we should ever expect is for government to voluntarily give up power. And that is what is so concerning right now. Oh, yeah, there's a virus on the loose. You know, a bunch of people are going to die. That's terrible. But it's also terrible how many people die of cancer and heart disease and natural disasters and automobile accidents and on and on and on and on it goes. But all of a sudden, we see a headline the other day. My God, there's been no murders in Miami for how many weeks now? For an entire month. A record that's not been seen since 1960-something. Cancer is not what they consider to be an urgent need. And heart disease and other health maladies that you would normally check into and get worked on, or, you know, they're now calling it elective. So I guess nobody's dying of cancer. Nobody's dying of heart attacks. Nobody's dying of murder. I'm sure Chicago, they're still killing people. That's what they do there. That's just weekend fun there, you know. People, the world's not coming to an end. This, too, shall pass, this disease we have. I'm talking coronavirus. I'm not talking about the greed of government. From a public health perspective, things will one day go back to normal, but that's as far as it goes. Because in the interim, they're completely ravaging the economy. Millions of people have already lost their jobs. Countless businesses will close forever. And trillions of dollars of prosperity is gone with the wind. The economic toll is incalculable. I can't say that too shall pass. It's going to cause great loss through suicide. All of this may take years. I'm not going to be around to see any change. Even the Great Depression eventually gave way to economic growth, but, oh, that's right, the Great Depression ended December 7th, 1941. Use your head. What I'm most concerned about at this point is not the virus, not even the economic devastation. I'm more concerned about how governments have seized this opportunity to vastly expend their power. They have us all cowering in our homes, stripped of the most basic freedoms to do anything. People are being thrown off their own private property because they're not an official resident of the town. What the hell is that? Others have been arrested for attending a funeral. Others threatened with jail for their social media posts. Maybe that's what that cloud was hanging over my head last night, letting the bastards know where I am. Well, in the words of Bob Barker, come on down. People are arrested for going to church. But as we mentioned yesterday, our friends the Moosies can go on over to the mosque and do whatever it is they do. They get down on their knees and bend over toward Mecca and smell their buddy's rear end. That's how close they are. Content everywhere is being censored. I had a YouTube video up the other day dealing with this coronavirus business and various options, et cetera, by very highly respected people within the medical profession. The video is now dead. They're taking them off of YouTube. The YouTube CEO, who's a rather snobbish, ugly, snotty-looking leftist BIT, has made it plain and clear that anything that goes against, in effect, the Gates direction on this thing, Gates and Fauci, is going to be removed. And they're doing it. Google and Facebook are telling us what we can and cannot say. Governments around the world are tracking their citizens every moment. Now there's talk of national health databases, special passports. Yeah, special passports. Let me tell you something. This has all been coming. My wife has to renew her driver's license this year, and, you know, remember for years they talked about a national driver's license? And everybody fought it. They didn't get it. It's coming around. Because my wife has to apply for the new driver's license, which has got more chips in it and more garbage and more information on it, which may or may not allow her to get on a plane, to even drive a car, to cross the border to get a beer in Mexico if she chose to do so. Oh, yeah. You won't be able to get in a plane. You won't be able to take a cruise. You won't be able to cross the border into Canada, into Mexico, without this special license, with all these chips and all that information they're going to stick down there. She had to go in there with her birth certificate. She had to go in with her citizenship papers. She had to go in with current, like W-2s, et cetera, and God knows what else. And she gets over the W-2, it wasn't acceptable because it didn't have her Social Security number on it. Well, you know, the school district did that for privacy reasons. There's two versions of it, which they send. One with it, which goes to the IRS. The other one, which you use for things like this, but they wouldn't accept it. Oh, yeah, I got to have a water bill or something like that, you know. It's ridiculous. The national ID is coming, folks. Little by little by little, they just keep bringing it our way. And the government just keeps spending big bucks. No thought of the consequences. It's a power grab, folks. And the circumstances are certainly similar. People are terrified, so the government's doing whatever it damn well pleases. Yeah, well, we'll be back in a few minutes. Think about some of these things, huh?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Yeah, we're back. You know, it's interesting with this kind of a commentary. You begin to realize just how imprisoned we have become. As we've stated, governments around the world tracking their citizens' every movement. National health databases. All of that is being pushed by private citizens. Bill Gates. This Fauci or Faustus, I call him, is the devil. They're spending trillions of dollars. No thought of the consequences. We've never seen a power grab like this. I think it's worse. People are terrified. They're locked in their homes so they can continue to keep the television on and get conned at every step of the way. I'm just walking through the other room. My wife's home. She's got the stupid television on. And the local news, oh, keep your car clean, take care of this. A guy's got a rubber glove on, and he's spraying disinfectant on his door handle to open it. My God, people. Government's doing whatever they damn well please. Are the public health problems ever going to be fixed? Not until they get their way. The economy might someday recover. In my lifetime, I doubt it. Because not only is there going to be a huge impact on our freedoms from this astonishing growth of unchecked government power, going to be? It's here, man. These changes are going to be with us permanently. Because if you live and work and bank and invest, own a business, hold your assets all in just one country, you're putting all your eggs in one basket. You're making a high-stakes bet that everything is going to be okay in that one country. For now and forever. All it's going to take for any economy to tank is a natural disaster to hit, the political system to go into turmoil. You could lose everything. Your money, your assets, possibly even your freedom. These are amongst the reasons for 25-odd years I've traded in precious metals. In gold, in silver, not so much platinum. Platinum's a different ballgame. It's one of the reasons I do it. It's a partial protection. Is it a cure-all? Of course not. But by putting some of your assets into those arenas, taking physical possession of gold and silver, I'm not talking storage. You don't take it down to your bank and stick it in your bank deposit box because, frankly, you kick the bucket. Your wife goes down to, you know, pull out the death instructions and, you know, military burial, the whole nine yards. Guess what's going to happen? And this happened after 9/11, folks, and very few people realize it. A bank officer is going to be there with your wife, your surviving spouse or partner or whatever, to go through the assets that are there. And if you got gold and silver and jewelry and other valuables in there, you may not walk out with them. Oh, maybe you don't need to. Maybe your plan is to just lock them back up, put them back in the box. But now somebody else has got a record of what they are. So much for privacy, huh? No, you don't put them in a bank deposit box. You buy them, you take possession, you shut up about them. Only the two of you need to know. If you got personal problems and your spouse leaves and steals, then that's between you and the spouse or whatever. But don't tell your brother-in-law, hey, son-in-law, you know, you and my daughter ought to start buying gold and silver like we do. You don't know what the hell your son-in-law is up to or who he is or what his relations are or the boyfriend or the girlfriend, whatever the case may happen to be. If you want to talk to me about some acquisitions for metals, you know, it's funny. An old client of mine, a truck driver that I see once or twice a year when he comes through, placed an order with me the other day. I couldn't remember his last name to save my soul. And I know he's out there listening on the road tonight. And there's a reason for it. By law, I must maintain records of a transaction for 2 years, after which I destroy those records. I'm not required to keep them. I'm more concerned about your privacy than most of you people are. Of course, I'm also concerned about a degree of privacy with myself, too. Well, we do some heavy-duty mopping in my computers. Heavy-duty, beyond the norm. Frustrating, isn't it? I think one of the things that has concerned me about all that we've been witnessing here, oh, and just in case, because I'm probably the worst of promoting myself. I come on and make a comment and say, you know, if you want to talk, give me a call, but I don't give the phone number out. Now, I've got two phone numbers, but they both go to, they forward to my cell phone anyway. 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. If you're looking at buying or trading or selling some precious metals because your family may be in need, then give me a call. I will work for you to get the best I can get for you. I have been frustrated as of late. I've got a client who's got 700 and some odd ounces of silver that she wants to liquidate. Her reason is wanting to convert to gold. And she doesn't want the weight and the size of the packages. She's got to move around with her. And I understand that. And I've talked to several of my wholesalers, all of whom who are charging me at least $4 to $5 above spot, which I then have to turn around and make a little bit of money on top of that. And yet these guys are only offering me between $1 and $2 over spot for the product that we have to sell. All right, I understand that, but you know, it's not like they're going to have that stuff in stock any longer. They're going to get this stuff in, they're going to put it out on display, bang, it's going to be gone within 2 days, max. So, you know, we may find some other options and ways to go. I may be able to find a buyer for your product beforehand, which is going to allow me to pay you more money for it. And that's the goal if we have to go in that direction. I can't always guarantee it. It depends on the circumstances. I've got a gentleman who listens to the program and to this network who lives in Mexico. Very, very interesting man with his family. But the business that he and I would do, contracts in the San Diego area is where the product would ship because he comes up over the border to do certain things. He's German by heritage, very heavy accent. And he has been trying desperately to be able to buy some junk silver from me for 2 months. I can't get any. Nobody's got it. The stuff goes so fast. I mean, I could find a roll of dimes here, a roll of quarters here, but nothing of any consequence. Not enough to fill what it is he wants to spend money on. This is the problem. Certain products are very, very tough to get right now. But just out of curiosity, if you, and by the way, metals were down today. I haven't even looked at them. I don't care. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. If you came to me and said, well, gee, I'd like to buy a whole box, 500 ounces of silver, you know what? Give me a call. The products that she's got to sell are newly minted 1 ounce silver rounds. They're highly recognizable. They're both put out by very well-known companies that have been minting product for 40, 50 years. And I might be able to negotiate something to get these products in here for you. And, you know, if you say, well, I don't want 500, I'll take one of the packages of 375 ounces. There's some things I might be able to do. So do give me a call, obviously not while I'm on the air, 602-799-8214. You can also text me and say I'm very interested in one of those, and that can help a lot for both her and yourselves. Let's take this another direction because I may not have enough time. One of my concerns as all of this is unfolded is that across the country, and I referenced this a little bit earlier, hospitals have been forced to shut down what they call non-essential procedures, all in preparation for a surge of coronavirus patients that never appeared. But if they didn't appear, how come the numbers are so huge? Because the hospitals get paid a whole bunch of money by writing off the fact that the person died of coronavirus. Paid by who? By the government, baby. When these lockdowns began in March, we were told that if we did not stay home, our hospitals would be overwhelmed with coronavirus patients. Intensive care wards would be overrun. There wouldn't be enough ventilators, and some people would probably die in their homes for lack of care. And to maintain capacity in the healthcare system, we all had to go on lockdown. Oh, not just in the big cities, baby, but everywhere. And so we stayed home. The businesses closed, and tens of millions of Americans lost their jobs. But with the exception of New York City, the overwhelming surge of patients never really appeared, at least not in the predicted numbers, which had been off by hundreds of thousands. During a press conference recently, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis noted that health experts initially projected 465,000 Floridians would be hospitalized because of coronavirus by the 24th of April. But as of April 22nd, the number was just over 2,000. Even in New York, where Fredo, you know, Governor Cuomo, said that he would need 30,000 ventilators, hospitals never came close to needing that many. And the projected peak need was only about 5,000. The actual usage may have been even lower. But I've watched a very intense video 3 nights ago that said these ventilators are not a healthy option for any of these people. It makes major changes to your intake and your breathing, et cetera, et cetera. There are other options. And the ventilators are actually causing more deaths than they're preventing. Other overflow measures have also proven unnecessary, or should we say inaccurate. Trump said last week that the USNS Comfort, the Navy hospital ship that had been deployed in New York to provide emergency care for coronavirus patients, was leaving the city. The ship had been prepared to treat 500 pages, right, but patients, I'm sorry. It's getting late in the day. It was late last night when I couldn't go to sleep. As of a week ago, only 71 beds had ever been occupied. An Army field hospital set up in Seattle's pro football stadium shut down earlier this month without ever having seen a single patient. And it's the same story in much of the country. In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott began gradually loosening lockdown measures, including a prohibition on most medical procedures. Hospitals just have not been as overwhelmed as they claimed it would be. In Dallas and Houston, where coronavirus cases are concentrated in the state, makeshift overflow centers that have been under construction might never get used at all. And in Illinois, where hospitals across the state scrambled to stock up on ventilators, last month, fewer than half of them had ever been put to use. And of Sunday a week ago, only 757 of the 1,345 ventilators were being used by COVID patients. In Virginia, only about 22% of the ventilator supply was being used. And meanwhile, hospitals and healthcare systems nationwide have had to furlough or lay off thousands of employees. Why? Because the vast majority of most hospitals' revenue comes from elective or non-essential procedures. Well, we're not talking LASIK eye surgery, but things like coronary angioplasty and stents. Procedures that are necessary, but maybe not emergencies yet. If hospitals can't perform these procedures because governors have banned them, then they can't pay their bills or their employees. Let me give you one example. Someone who I know who works in a cardiac intensive care unit, ICU, in rural Virginia called recently and told how they had reorganized their entire system around caring just for corona patients. They'd canceled most non-essential procedures, imposed furloughs, pay cuts, created a special ICU ward for patients with COVID-19. And up to that point in time, they'd only had one patient, one. And the nurses assigned to the COVID ward had very little to do. In the entire area covered by this hospital system, only 30 people had ever tested positive for COVID-19. Now, I'm sure the governors and the health officials who ordered these lockdowns meant well. They based their decisions on some deeply flawed and woefully inaccurate models, and they should have been less panicky and more skeptical. But they were facing a completely new disease about which, thanks to China, they had no reliable information. I say that word in that manner for a reason. Information. And yet, in hindsight, all of this seems clear that treating the entire country as if it were New York was a huge mistake that has cost millions of American jobs and destroyed untold amounts of wealth. And now that we know our hospitals aren't going to be overrun by COVID-19 cases, the governors and the mayors should immediately reverse course and begin opening their states and communities for business. Some are. You heard what happened in Michigan yesterday. Oh, that governor up there got slammed. She got slammed so hard. Armed militia type showed up at the governor's office and in the state senate. You know, scared the hell out of these people. They signed off. She can't do this stuff anymore. She's kind of been cut off a little bit. Some of the states have phased in a cautious manner, as they should. But the overarching narrative that we all bought into, that unless we stayed home and flattened the curve, our hospitals would be inundated. And if your kids got sick, there'd be no beds available to treat them. It's all turned out to be BS. It hasn't happened. There's a good chance it won't happen, especially now that new evidence is emerging that suggests many more people have already contracted COVID-19 than previously thought, which means the disease might be far less lethal than we feared. Public officials responsible for the lockdowns will no doubt claim that without these draconian measures, our hospital surely would have been overwhelmed. And who knows? Maybe they would have. It's an unfalsifiable assertion. But at this point, my friends, we should all be able to agree that the predictions were way off. Not just because they didn't take into account stay-at-home orders or business closures, because they did. The experts in this case were wrong. And we continue to listen to this Fauci character and Bill Gates and God knows how many other idiots. The best thing governors and mayors can do now, today, right now, tonight, is admit as much and start lifting their lockdown orders so people, including the doctors and nurses, can get back to work. I've read too many stories about people who some of their elective surgery is not as elective as one might. I don't care about plastic surgery. The hell with that. I'm coming back here this morning after my turn away at Verizon. I'm going through this entire shopping center that's completely shut down. Ross, shut down. What's the other one? There's a big Bed Bath & Beyond, shut down. Marshall's, shut down. Every other store in that shopping, the movie theater, shut down. The only places that are open, Costco, okay, Costco's open, but every other store is shut down, except the Ultra. Is it Ultra or Ulta, the big makeup place? How the hell is a makeup store considered to be essential? Unbelievable to me. Or if these people just said, screw it, we're opening our doors. I don't get it, people. I don't get it at all. I don't know what's essential. This stupid governor we've got has obviously kowtowed to someone. What little I saw, the guy was up there. He looked so nervous, like he was flicking his eyes around. Either he's on drugs or he's looking around to see who's watching what he's saying. And there's that possibility as well. The only people working in this country, in this state of Arizona, for the most part, are the Hispanics. First-generation illegals, second-generation children of illegals. They've got the jobs. I don't know if we've got the time to straighten it all out. Lord willing, we do. But it ain't never going to be the same, folks. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow night, right here on The Edge. Good night.
These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with the guns
and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Dead skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do charity, charity is the coach you wear twice a year, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.